Just kidding. So we are continuing our sermon series that we've called Knowing Jesus. And I know this is going to come as a surprise to you all, but today we're going to talk about that title, that distinction, that name, Emmanuel. I love this time of year. I know that as I'm looking out right now, I know there are some of you that have come from out of town to be with family. I know there are some of us that are gone at this point to be with family, but during this time, it seems as if a great opportunity for reconnection, for being able to take a break, slow down a little bit, eat some good food, eat some cookies. Yesterday, the girls were decorating cookies, and I heard that Adeline did it this way. She would decorate a cookie, and then she would eat it. She'd decorate a cookie, and then she'd eat it. And the friends that we were with, we were talking about it, and Sarah said, yeah, I think she had 5 cookies. And our friend said, oh no, it was way more than that. So Adeline's kind of on this perpetual sugar high right now. We wonder why it took her so long to go to bed yesterday. But you got to just love this time of year and the joy that comes with spending time with friends and family during this Christmas season. I'm going to throw out a few dates to you and see if you can recall what took place on these certain dates. November 22nd, 1963, the assassination of JFK. July 20th, 1969, it's the moon landing. This one, I know for me, it's made a big impact. September 11th, 2001. The reason it's made an impact more than the other ones is I wasn't alive for the other ones like a lot of you. December 7th, 1941. Pearl Harbor, April 4th, 1968, assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., January 28th, 1986, Challenger disaster, October 29th, 1929. There might be a few here that remember that. I don't know. I'm not really good at math, so I'm not sure. 80-something, I guess. I don't know. Stock market crash, or November 9th, 1989, the tearing down of Berlin Wall. So all of those are big days. They're etched onto our hearts in one way or another because of the difference that they have made in the world and on our lives. But there is a day that changed the world more than any other day in the course of history. Every time, as a matter of fact, someone asks you what year it is, or as you sign a check or have to sign some important document and put the date, it demonstrates the weight of the significance of Jesus' birth on our world. So this year it would say 2017 AD. The AD stands for Anno Domini, which means in the year of our Lord. Every time we talk about the year in which we're living, we are referring to, perhaps indirectly, but we're referring to the birth of our Lord. Of course, this system was first introduced by a monk named Dionysius Exiguus, who started Anno Domini because he recognized the significance of the day of Jesus' birth. Let's go to Matthew's account of this day for just a moment. It's a passage that we've already heard as we've been worshiping this morning. Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. This was a divine act. It's very clear from the beginning. Verse 19, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. The Lord told Joseph in a dream to name the baby Jesus, or Yeshua, which means to save, rescue, or deliver. Jesus' distinction is made clear from the very start. He is the Savior. But Jesus won't be referred to only as Jesus or Yeshua. He will also be referred to as Emmanuel, God with us. And Emmanuel's start, at least on earth, it begins very humbly, doesn't it? We can read about it in Matthew 1. We could also read about it in Luke chapter 2. Born to a virgin and a Jewish carpenter in the small town of Bethlehem, in a feed trough, in a stable of all places, and with minimal fanfare. We're talking about God with us. Wouldn't there be some more fanfare? Not to mention that he enters our world as a child. I'm going to read over in Matthew chapter 2, verses 7 through 12. And I want us to notice this morning how many times Jesus is referred to as the child in this passage. Take notice, verse 7. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." In these verses, we have a clash of kingdoms. On the one hand, we have Herod, who is frightened to lose his power and authority. He's ready to seize control of the moment, if you will. In his rule, his way of life was characterized by things like power, control, jealousy, and strife. But you have another king that comes onto the scene. It's Emmanuel. He enters the world being born where animals eat and sleep. His kingdom, his way, is going to be characterized by things like humility, joy, peace, and simplicity. And so we ask questions like, as we reflect on this passage, wouldn't Emmanuel's birth come with more glitz and glamour? With less smell of manure and more praise from the higher ups of that day? Shouldn't his birth occur in a palace and not a stable? Isn't that how the King of Kings, should enter the world? We're talking about God with us. Yesterday, Sarah and the girls and I, we went and we spent some time with some close friends of ours in San Antonio. And they have adopted a little baby. She's 9 months old. They have fed her, provided for her, they've protected her. A little while back, the baby's mother stepped back onto the scene and said, "I want my baby back. Now, the deal is, the authorities know, I'm going to be careful how I say this, but the authorities know that the situation that this little girl is in now is much better than the other situation. But the courts, the attorneys, those, the child protective services, they have to do their due diligence. And so the situation is in the courts right now, and they're dealing with all the legal matters that are involved with a baby adoption. I was holding this little girl yesterday, and I just thought, wouldn't it be great if she could just say, "This is what I want," and just speak and just say, "This is what would be the better situation," or "Let me tell you a little bit about what I've gotten to experience in this current state that I'm in." But she can't. People are, in one way or another, fighting for custody for her at this point. Just a little girl. And what it reminded me of was the vulnerability of a little child. If anything will stamp on our hearts that God is with us, that He knows us, that He understands what it means to have skin and emotions and joys and pains, it's that God both quietly slipped into and yet powerfully invaded our world as a vulnerable little baby. A child, Matthew says, the child, God with us, Emmanuel. He entered humanity's turf in a humble way. It'd be something, I was trying to get my mind around how Texans think, so I thought of it this way. It'd be something like George W. Bush choosing to live in a small apartment just up the road on 2243. If he were to do that, we would say he's down to earth for doing such a thing. Down to earth. That's Emmanuel, the one who spoke the Pacific Ocean into being, who parted the Red Sea, who gave us blue bonnets and guacamole for those who like it, who gives us the northern lights, who knocked down a city, who forms a baby in its mother's womb, who flooded the entire world, who painted the skies with the stars. God came down. That's what Matthew told us. He said that the people would call him Emmanuel, God with us. I think it's important to remember that God chose in our lives in this manner. He chose to participate in our lives. In doing so, He chose to walk our streets, eat our food, feel our pain, cry our tears, feel our betrayal, enjoy our joys, and even die our death. We talk a lot about reaching up to God. We hope our prayers are lifted to His throne. We want to reach the spiritual mountaintop. We even talk about things like church camp and mission trips as a spiritual high. We hope to have our hearts set on things above. And these are all good things. Church, keep reaching up. But don't forget what the birth of Jesus reminds us of, and that is that God came down to us. And it's only because of Him coming down that we can reach up to Him in the first place. Good news. God sees us. He knows us. He's been one of us. Emmanuel is down to earth. He enters as a baby, and when he grows up, he does things like touch the lepers, hang out with those crummy sinners and tax collectors, and washes feet. So I imagine between today and tomorrow, you'll be spending time with family and friends. You'll be sharing memories of Christmases past, exchanging gifts, baking cookies, eating a lot of cookies, cooking Christmas dinner, driving from one event to the next. All kinds of Christmas stuff, right? In the midst of all of the joy, remember what the brother of Emmanuel wrote in James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from God. God with us. For some of you, I know this to be true. Christmas is more difficult than it is joyous. The holidays have a way of magnifying the empty seat and the fact that you won't be able to share laughs and memories with the one you want to share them with. In fact, the experts say that depression, loneliness, and family tension are most profound during this time of year. So I recognize that December isn't always the most wonderful time of the year for some of you. So please don't forget what Matthew said, of course, quoting from Isaiah. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. So it goes like this. In the heartache and the emptiness of this season, for some of you, I know it's the case, what took place in a manger, in a stable, in the little town of Bethlehem, can speak some hope, even some joy, perhaps, into your pain. God is with us. I'd like to conclude this message with two observations and a challenge. The first observation is this. God's plan of redemption included sending Emmanuel, the Son, fully God, fully human, to become intricately involved in creation in order to bring all things under Christ, who is the head. Paul put it this way. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And so the Son was the perfect atoning sacrifice for our sins. And the second observation is this. God with us is a reality for all Christians today. In Scripture, there are various ways in which the writers communicate the truth that God is present with us. I'd like us to look at Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 11 for a moment, and we can see this truth that God is present with all believers. Romans 8, beginning at verse 9. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Paul will go on to say that because of the presence of the Spirit and of Christ within you, we have nothing to fear. We have this incredible security that holds us tightly to God and that allows us to live righteous lives, bringing glory to him in all that we do. God with us. The manger, stable, the star, the shepherds, all that's involved in Jesus' birth are reminders of God's presence with his people in all our frailty, brokenness, hurts, and joys. God with us. The question is, it's a question that all of us have to ponder. Will we see him? Herod chose not to. Magi, coming from far away, chose to see him. I'm reminded of a quote from a little elf in the movie Santa Claus. I wanted so badly to get that movie into this message. Gotta love Tim Allen. She says, "Believing is seeing. Believing is seeing. Do you believe? Do you see him? I saw him as he worked through people to give gifts to those in need through our family to family outreach. Can you see him? I saw him as I heard Adeline singing in the backseat of the car the other day. A child shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold. I saw him as our family spent time with loved ones yesterday in San Antonio. I saw him as folks from this congregation provided food for those who are in need. Do you see what I see? The Son was born to the Virgin Mary. The people would call him Emmanuel, God with us. God is with us today." If there's anybody here today that is in need of the prayers of the church family, David's going to lead us in a invitation song here in just a moment. If you'd like to come and let us know what's going on in your life, we'd be glad to pray with you or for you this morning. Perhaps you have not given your life over to Christ yet. We want you to know that it's important to receive that salvation that comes through Jesus Christ in the waters of baptism. If you have not done so yet, we would love to witness you make that faithful proclamation today. So whatever need that you have, you can come forward now as we stand and continue to worship our God who is with us.